to the Varaha Purana, as quoted by Srila Jiva Goswami, there is no difference between the water of the Ganges and the Yamuna. But when the Ganges is sanctified 100 times, it is called the Yamuna. Similarly, it is said in the scriptures that 1,000 names of Vishnu are equal to one name of Ram, and 3 names of Lord Ram are equal to one name of Krishna. Om Gyana Chamarandasya Ginanjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Sri Mati Bhakti Vedanta Swamaniti Namane Namaste Sarasvati Devi Gauravani Pracharini Nirvishesha Sanivari Paschatya Dejatarane Vancha Kalpa Trubhyascha Kripa Sandhu Bhavacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vas Adi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. So from this purport, I thought that there was 3 main points, but I'll go through them in reverse order. It ended with speaking about Yamuna as the ultimate purifier and as the most sanctified. And I have a question for everyone. How many of you have seen River Yamuna? Yeah. And so she's someone that's, I think, very much a part of our spiritual lives, but perhaps not as relative or present sometimes as, if she's the most, like, sanctified being that we have to relate with. I don't know how much of us really have a strong connection with her. And for me personally, Satchinandana Maharaj asked myself, Kuvaleshaya Das, and Philip, who you know is a photographer who comes here often, to go to India and for 2.5 months make a documentary to help save Yamuna. And this was an interesting service to be given because I had no relationship to Yamuna other than we sang about her before Bhagavatam class, you know, and she was always in Krishna's pastimes. But I really didn't have such a connection to her. So when we hear about Yamuna, she's described as a goddess, as the daughter of the sun, and as the sister of Lord Yama. One of her most prominent features is that she saves the devotee from Lord Yamaraj. And she acts as a purifier. She blesses the devotee with devotional service. And she saves us by delivering us to Lord Krishna. And so Rupa Goswami wrote some beautiful verses called the Yamunashtakam about Yamuna. And I'll just read you a couple of verses. If you want to shut your eyes and imagine it, it makes it even more beautiful. She frees one from being taken away by the land of her brother, Lord of Death. She carries even the worst of sinners across the ocean of sins by her sight. She attracts all people's hearts with the sweetness of her water. May the daughter of the sun always purify me. She beautifies the spacious forests with her flow of alluring water. She dances with the birds and bees flying about her lotus fields. She completely destroys all disease, sickness, and sin for those who desire to bathe in her. May the daughter of the sun always purify me. She adorns the entire region of Braj with her charming beauty. She widens the path for devotees of Krishna who have found supreme love. She worships the feet of Krishna with the play of her arm-like waves. May the daughter of the sun always purify me. O lotus-eyed goddess, daughter of the sun, destroyer of all sins, may you who move with pure waves and who are tended by all the gods increase the torrent of devotion streaming toward Krishna for that intelligent and content person who sings this hymn to you. We also hear of Yamuna's glories particularly in the 10th canto, in Krishna's pastimes. He's always there playing with the gopis in the river Yamuna and drinking the river Yamuna with all his friends after herding the cows. And a famous pastime is of the Kaliya serpent. And Kaliya serpent was poisoning the river Yamuna. And in order for Krishna to save the residents of Vrindavan, he came to destroy that serpent. And this is an interesting maybe resemblance you could draw, because at current stage there is somewhat of a Kaliya serpent attacking our river Yamuna. And I don't know how much people are aware of it. I think everyone's generally aware that she's having a hard time, perhaps, and by the sight and smell of her in Vrindavan, you know that there's something wrong. But really the true knowledge of it comes from when you actually see what Yamuna looks like before she gets to Delhi, or even before that, when she's up near the Himalayas. And we were blessed with the opportunity to create this film, which you will see some footage in a little bit. But it, you know, we started out in Delhi, and it was a week of just seeing the Yamuna. I mean, it was almost too much. I mean, I could barely even handle it, but Philip and Kuva kind of took the lead in that part. And it was, you're seeing areas where she's black and thick like sludge, and then other areas where it's just trash for miles and miles and bubbling with chemicals inside. And then other parts, when she comes towards a certain dam, the water, you know, some of it escapes through, which, because there's so much chemicals in her water, it creates almost a meter deep of foam as far as you can see. It's just, they call it the bubble bath. And really, if you go and see Yamuna in Delhi, she's black. She's just this black, thick sludge. And this has been declared by the United Nations as an officially dead river. And the Pollution Control Board of the government of India has said that not even a drop of Yamuna reaches Vrindavan. The water, the physical water of Yamuna reaches Vrindavan. And it's a great tragedy. It's a huge tragedy. And what's in this water? It's the sewage, untreated and half-treated, of Delhi. It's the effluents and runoff from all the farms and industrial villages that are all alongside the river. And then all of this water is being used to grow the crops in the farms. So all the chemicals that are in the water, and you're talking about arsenic, lead, mercury, these very high, heavy metals in high contamination amounts are being used to grow in the food. And it's natural that root vegetables will take up whatever is in the soil. So the food which feeds Delhi, which feeds the areas around, are also polluted. And they're saying 23% of children within the Yamuna area have lead poisoning. That's one in every four children has lead poisoning. And lead poisoning means that they will never be able to properly function as a human being. Their intelligence ability is handicapped. It's a huge problem. And Yamuna, who is seen as the mother, is seen as the one who gives us service and brings us closer to Krishna, is in such a state that she's killing her children and poisoning them. And, you know, it's up to everyone to make sure this changes. And so in the purport by Srila Prabhupada we just heard, we saw that he was speaking about how the Yamuna was flowing past Hastinapur. And this is an important point, because the reason we have Delhi, the reason why, you know, northern India exists, is because of the water of the Yamuna. Water gives life, and without the rivers, life cannot live. If we lose Yamuna, so many people will lose their life. And 50 million people depend on her for survival. And people are living with, even, you know, when she comes to Vrindavan and she's in like the worst state that she could possibly be in, still people are bathing, still people are drinking, and still people are using her water. So very much this service became very alive for me. After we had spent that time in Delhi and seen Yamuna as she was, then we went to Vrindavan. And then to see how much people were worshipping her, and we knew what was in the water, it was this whole thing of like, can you worship this? Like, is Yamuna still here, or is she way back there? And it was such a strange feeling. And then from that point, we traveled up to the foothills of the Himalayas. And for 3 weeks, we were traveling up there. And this is when we saw the magic. And this is when these descriptions of Yamuna's water that we just heard as well, as this beautiful, beautiful waters, I understood to be true. Because she, and you will see too in the video, it's like crystal clear sapphires. And she was rushing with incredible force, full of life. Like we took bath in her water and it was like your whole body became alive. Every particle was buzzing with joy. And just looking at her, as you will see, it fills you with this rush to go home to Krishna. And that, for me, was very much the connecting point with Yamuna, was sitting by her banks up there just in the foothills. And with such delight and such excitement and anxiety, she was on her way to Vrindavan to serve and to be with Krishna. And here in my heart, I was thinking, but you're not going to get there. You know, very shortly she hits Hastinapur Dam and 97% of her water is taken off. And then it's used for creating electricity and irrigating farms for rice fields. And then for 100 kilometers up until Delhi, it's completely dry. There's no water. And then that leftover water that they use up there comes shooting back in just before Delhi. And that's when all of Delhi's sewage and pollution gets put into it. And so yes, by the time she reaches Vrindavan, some say that she's not there in terms of materially there. And I felt the personal mission of, we need to bring Yamuna back. We need to help Yamuna come back to Vrindavan. And this was a beautiful point to reflect on as well, because Yamuna is the one that's always giving. She's the one that's not trying to just enjoy Krishna for herself. She would rather that we enjoy Krishna more than she enjoys him. And she's the one who gives us service and who purifies us to come closer to him. So we have now been given the opportunity, though, to do service to her and for the children to serve the mother. And she needs us because she's sick. And understanding how we can do this, I mean, the central pollution, the main reasons for her issues is because of the depletion. And they say if even 10% of Yamuna was released up there in Hastinapur, right in the beginning, to flow down, she would be able to cleanse herself and she wouldn't be so polluted. She would be able to flow to Vrindavan. And ultimately, though, 100% would be the best. And we met many, many environmentalists and activists and people who are really trying to push this. For 30 years, they've been trying to push this. This has been a huge problem for such a long time. And they're just trying to get that minimum flow, trying to get that minimum flow. And the government has approved, the Supreme Court has approved that at least 50% of Yamuna should be released. But, you know, India, and this connection still has not yet been made. So it requires political will, it requires pressure of the people, and it requires education and awareness. Because really, unless you're really given this information, it's hard to know what's going on. And the other issue is the pollution. So they're working a lot to... There's no sewage system, really, in Delhi, so that's a big problem. And just trying to create systems for India and for the villages around the outside to control the garbage, the plastic, the sewage, and get these industries to stop putting their waste in the river. But I think ultimately the way that we can really help Yamuna is, like all things, is by becoming Krishna conscious. And Krishna consciousness is essentially, in one basic way, two principles of seeing this world as sacred and as becoming of service, performing devotional service. And as we said, Yamuna is always the one serving us, and now is our chance to serve her. If people really believed that she was sacred, when you see all these people, like you'll see in the video, worshiping her by, they take these bundles of like plastic and pieces of tinsel and a little piece of sari and things like this, and they throw this into the river, and this is some kind of ritual worship of Yamuna. And if people are not connecting two and two together, like, you're worshiping your river by harming her, you know. And it's such an interesting thing, but to really understand what it means to be of service, how to serve somebody, anybody, means that we understand the heart of that person. And to understand the heart of someone means you understand what their desires are. And I think that was the point for me when I understood her desire more than anything, to be, her sole existence is to be with Krishna in Vrindavan. And that was all it took for that relationship to be secured. And so it's very important that I think, as I speak for myself, as devotees, that we try to really develop heartfelt connections and relationships with that who we are worshipping, and that which we are sharing with others, and that which we are trying to live. And I guess the other thing is that this people are trying to figure out how can we be environmental, how can we live sustainably. And if we look at traditional Vedic culture, it was the essence of sustainability. It was based on Sanatan Dharma, which means to live a life that lasts forever, to live eternally. And so all principles were formed around these concepts, and people lived in such a way that was not harmful to the environment, that was viewing the world and each other as sacred and being of service to one another. So now I will show you the footage of Yamuna, and it goes through a little journey. I just took visuals from the film where it's at and put them together. And we start off up where Yamuna runs pure, and then you'll see her when she comes to Delhi, and then you'll see eventually when she gets to Vrindavan. And along the way, you'll see the people's faces, the people we met along the way, the villages that lived on the banks of the Yamuna, and the farmlands that were being affected by her waters. And then at the end, I just added in also our little behind-the-scenes thing, just for fun. And then at the very end, there's about a six-minute talk from Shamdas Prabhu, who we just interviewed a few weeks ago, and he has now, most of us have heard, left us and gone to the spiritual world, and so we feel very fortunate to have this interview with him. And he speaks so wonderfully about the Yamuna. And if you don't know Shamdas, he was a great leader in the Vallabha Sampradaya, and to him, Yamuna was very special because he had lived, he lived in Gokul and in Govardhan. He had two places, and where he's been trying for 30 years to help save Yamuna. And in the Vallabha line, Yamuna is seen kind of like how we view Tulsi, like as the one that really connects us and gives us devotion for Krishna. So she's very, very important. And I'm sure you'll read that in the way that he speaks of her and things like this. So thank you, and I hope you enjoy it, and I hope it works. About Shamdas? Well, we have got a few. He was also in the Woman of Bhakti film, so like over the past few years we've been able to continuously meet up, and he's such a wonderful person. I don't know if a lot of people have heard of him, but he's like best friends with Radhanath Maharaj and Sachinandan Swami and Dhanadhar Swami. So like when they're constantly, you always hear from either three of them of Shamdas and Shamdas speaking about them, and it's that they have such a brotherhood, them all. And and at the Govardhan retreat especially, Shamdas is always present. And he's very knowledgeable about the Gaudiya tradition and about a lot of things. But he's a very profound kirtan leader. In the USA, he has a huge following, and he's been bringing so many people to the holy name. And I mean, he's in all of the bhakti festivals and things like this, traveling around yoga centers and everything like that. So he's written many books and has a few CDs. And for me personally, he was just such a person who applied his heart to his practice. Like he was living and breathing love of Krishna, and everything that he did and was. And one of my favorite things, every time we go to his place, which is like the house where Vallabhacharya used to live, I think it was. He has his temples downstairs and he lives up top. And it's right against Govardhan Hill, where you see that the white that temple that's on the top, he's just like right up against it. So you go on the roof and you feel like you can practically touch Govardhan Hill. It's so close. And whenever he brings everyone over to lunch, fully open arms, like, yeah, come for lunch. And he puts down this big, leaf plate, and then just all these different types of beautiful preparations and small amounts, like really traditional and like amazing tasting prasadam. And then he calls, and then he wants to do kirtan. And when we were just there, one of the Vallabha best singers was over, and he was this really charismatic young Indian man. And they pulled out a huge drum, and they just decided to kind of battle bhajan. And so Shyamdas started and was singing with the harmonium, and then the guy with the drum comes in who wants to sing over the top of him, and they kept getting like louder and louder. The neighbors came over, we were just like, whoa, and everyone started dancing, and it's like every moment was like, okay, how can we celebrate Krishna in this moment? And every time we went over, he always made sure we went up onto the roof to take darshan of Giriraj. And this last time we went up there, as soon as we got onto the roof, this huge Neil guy was galloping, like you can see from like one end of Govardhan to the other, and this huge Neil guy was galloping across, like the silhouette running across the top. And I mean, like, you know, just from seeing where we were, he was about this big because you're so close, you know, and he's just running across. And Shyamdas said, 40 years I've been here and I've never seen something as auspicious as that. So he was really relishing that moment. And yeah, it was a big shock to hear that he had left, but hearing of his leaving, I felt for the first time in my life such faith that he more than definitely had gone back to the spiritual world. I just knew it. And then Maha pointed out, well, the world must be really fun these days. I could only imagine with him back there with Krishna. Yeah. Oh, anything else? Thank you all for sitting here and listening and watching, sharing that. I hope you kindled a little something of love for Yamuna, like she has for me, and that we can really do whatever is possible, even if it's just a single prayer, to help bring her back to Vrindavan. Thank you. Jai Srila Prabhupada.